A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Wednesday morning. Little cloud cover out there today. I think we may anticipate some rain, possibly. A little bit of help there with washing our cars. Matter of fact, I washed my truck yesterday, my work truck. So I guess I helped. Yeah, if you believe in that kind of stuff, helped with the rain coming. Yeah, I've often heard people say that wash your car and the rain will come. But hope everyone's week is going good so far. And just again, as way of announcements, today is Wednesday, and so we will have a meal and Bible study at our church, at Woodlawn Baptist Church. So if you don't have anything going on at 6 p.m., any dinner plans, come on out, join us, and have a bite to eat and then share in a Bible study. And then again, that is this evening at 6 p.m., and then Bible study will start at 6:30. So come on out, Woodlawn Baptist Church, Lowell, North Carolina. Had a full day yesterday, kind of got out and worked some, and had some things going on, going to be out working again today. So thank the Lord for the opportunity to continue and progress in that area. And yeah, it's going to be getting warm, so here we are. And got to celebrate a birthday yesterday. James Grant, happy birthday, James. It was his birthday, so got to be a part of his life. And 10 years old, I believe. Yeah, so, or is it 9? I can't remember now. Anyway, my memory escapes me. Yeah, you know, birthday parties are always fun, I guess, to the degree as a child. I mean, when you start getting up in age, they're probably not as not as fun as they once were when you were a kid. So yeah, that's kind of where that lands when you get older. But anyway, for us, we're going to jump back in and get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll close out this chapter where Paul is, again, his reminder to the church and to those who offer their work unto the Lord to do it in a way that basically, again, reflects his attributes, his character in their life. And I think Paul, you know, hits some of these things in chapter 11. So we stopped off yesterday in verse 16 in chapter 11. Today we'll pick up in verse 17. It says, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Where in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and make shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks it and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. Mainly the significance of what's clarified here is a couple of things, is that there is disunity within the church, and there's, again, as we've stated multiple times, more so of a mentality that's individualistic and not looking at the whole part of others and considering the brethren. And so proving a point of either right or wrong and trying to justify their motives in their own ways has brought on this point to where there is division in the church. And Paul basically, you know, again, points that out to them so that there is a recognition of what's going on. And even in the midst of that, we would say that God still uses sinful creatures, his creation, for his glory. I mean, he still can work through man's sin for the plan that he has in place, and therefore it's not going to actually put a hindrance or alter the way in which God works. He's done that a long time now. Now look at David and Bathsheba. Look at, you know, again, those Moses and his reactions towards God. And I mean, there's just multiple reference points that we can look back through the Bible and see that man's sin does not deter the work of God. God has a plan, and so therefore we know that he will fulfill his plan. But there is a way in which we also should understand the function and operation of the local church. Paul's pointing that out and how things should be represented. And then he goes on into the Lord's Supper. And of course, what that displays and signifies as a body of believers, that when we come together and partake of this Lord's Supper, how is it that we're divided in the midst of saying that we're united in Christ? So there is a matter of hypocrisy. And I would dare say that that even probably happens today. I mean, that's probably not something that we want to consider because, you know, again, conviction can be hard, and therefore we may even take offense to something that's truthful. But a lot of our churches probably operate under that means that there may be dissension, there may be aggravation, frustration. You know, people can get upset with one another and hold jealousy, bitterness, all these other different emotions that kind of rage within because of how we feel towards our brother or sister in Christ. And, you know, we've got to get those things corrected. Not to say that, again, we are a perfect church, but when we care for one another, and then, of course, what that symbolizes, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is a representation, an actual visible representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for our kids to see that as well, who don't have a relationship. I mean, I've had two small children that have not made professions of faith, and this is a good time to explain to them what the Lord's Supper means and what that actually signifies as a believer, and how is it that we partake in that, and that we're united in Christ, and therefore we do accept one another, and we work for the glory of God in the midst of all the struggles that sometimes kind of appear before us. You know, and I think that's a lesson that we've strived to teach our kids, even in our homes, that yes, there are differences, and we probably don't always align with the same understanding of how we feel about things. You know, you may like Coke, I may like Pepsi. However that may land, but at the end of the day, if we're saying that we're united in Christ, then we always strive to put the other person first. I mean, that's just the way it operates. And I know that's not a mentality that's probably longed for in the society and culture that we live now. Now, again, what's the basis of that? Is the basis so then that way we can get something out of the other individual, or something that we can strive for, so then that way there is a way in which maybe we feel better even about ourselves because of what we've done? No. Again, it exemplifies the love of Christ, and again, what that represents by the sacrifice that he laid down his life, and so therefore we partake not only in the death but the resurrection. And that one day there will be a glorious reunion with Christ. And so when we meet our Heavenly Father and we are in heaven forevermore, and so there is a great time for consideration of being in a homecoming way, our heavenly home. So for us as believers, while we're here, Paul is basically describing the instance to consider these things that, you know, if you have this sin, if you have this division, if you have these things that basically you're basically in sin, and he's calling this out here in the passage, then that needs to be examined, and that needs to be turned away from. There needs to be repentance, there needs to be confession, and there needs to be a right understanding of what this is and what this symbolizes. And I think that's the other part about it is that when we really contemplate what all that means for us as believers, it's not looked upon as something that's lightly taken in the Lord's Supper, and the significance of what that means to come together as a body of believers and partake in the Lord's Supper. Now, at our church, we partake every third Sunday of the month, and I'm glad that that is an observation in which we consider to be most vital for us as a congregation. And it's even been mentioned that if you can schedule things, which I know a lot of times with arrangements and plans and things of those, that to be there on the third Sunday of each month. We're not saying just to be there on the third Sunday either. We're just saying if you can, make it a point to try to be there on the third Sunday. So again, I think it's critical for us to look at how Paul lays these details out, and therefore we know that this is something that is significant for us as believers. So again, going back to verse 26 in chapter 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he's coming. So let's proclaim it well. And that means even getting along with our brothers and sisters. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking again with you tomorrow.